Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of We Work Radio. And Stone, you hanging in there?
I am, man. We're hitting home stretch here.
This is it.
And I don't know what I did with my espresso. I just made one. Oh, there it is over there. But this final episode, it's worth the wait. This is going to be a fantastic segment. In a little while, we're going to get a chance to visit with a lady with MedEdge Marketing, who also, incidentally, is going to be launching her own podcast.
Cool.
Before too long. So I want to talk about that, kind of get a feel for what that show is going to be about and who she's going to interview. And we're going to talk all about her work. But first up, on WeWork Radio for this episode, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast founder and CEO with Caladan Marketing, Brody Schroeder. How are you, man?
Good. Thanks for having me. This is a really cool setup you guys got here.
Well, Brody, can you tell us a little bit about Caladan? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so we're a full-service digital marketing agency based in Atlanta. We've been in business for about a year and a half now. We specialize in the B2B market and really in inbound marketing specifically.
So you help customers get noticed and found?
Exactly, through a myriad of different approaches, search engine optimization, pay-per-click advertising, for example, on Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, as well as email marketing automation, and we also do CRM integrations, so they're able to track their customers that are coming in and follow up with leads efficiently.
So now, do you find that a lot of companies, that's a missed opportunity to get inbound, that they're always chasing, and that they could be doing some work around their website and really start attracting?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people, they have maybe one or two pieces of the puzzle. We try to really come in and take the full picture of you, mm-hmm. and how do they actually work all of the systems together? How do they take an inbound approach and making sure that people are being followed up with appropriately? Do they have the right sales processes on the back end? Once the lead does come in, what does that process look like? And how do you take a cohesive approach instead of just running some pay-per-click ads and hoping you get some leads that come in?
So you help them build kind of a sales funnel?
Yeah, really we build like an inbound marketing machine, if you look at it that way. So building an entire system that can go to work for them while they're asleep and is really an investment in the future as well down the line.
Now, how does content marketing play into this?
Content marketing is very important, especially from an SEO perspective. That's how I initially got my start in this. I set up a WordPress blog back when I was in college, and that's really how I cut my teeth. And that's really the way, the foundation of email marketing, right, is attracting your ideal customer through a content that's, kind of teaches them, educates them, and warms them up to who you are and your company and how you can help them.
Now, do you specialize in certain types of industries? What area do you work in?
We're really focused on the B2B market at this point in our business. That's just who we've actually came in contact with and who we find that we help the most. We actually just became a HubSpot partner recently, about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So we've been actually taking an approach of helping implement that CRM system, and it's more than just a CRM. They tie in all the pieces together. A lot of companies we find, they don't have a good system in place to track all of this, and we found HubSpot to be really effective at tracking ROI and following up with leads and customers efficiently in that manner.
Now, when you say B2B, that's still pretty broad. Do you specialize in certain industries?
No, we haven't really narrowed down our focus at this point. We're still pretty young. So we're still open to different niches and stuff like that.
So now how are people finding you through your own? Do you practice what you preach?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. But, inbound marketing does take time to build up, especially from a content perspective. So we have a two-pronged approach. We do a lot of outbound marketing, directly going after the clients that we want and also attracting them through content we're putting out there on social media.
Now, when you're like targeting a client or a type of customer, how does that approach work? Are you buying ads? Are you what are you doing to attract?
We really take an account-based marketing approach. So we find accounts and
so you
people
pick
that we
a
think we can help.
You pick a company.
Yeah, we pick a company and try to go after them on LinkedIn and try to find the decision makers and start a conversation.
And then company A, you say, okay, I think that we can work with them. Then you go to LinkedIn and identify 10 executives or marketing people in the company?
Well, 10 would be a little high. We're going after a little bit smaller companies at this point. That'd be nice to go after a company that has 10 executives that can help us. But we kind of find people that we think we have some common interest in, common connections. I also have a business development gentleman. He's a VP of Business Development for us. He specializes in LinkedIn. He's very good at it. I think he has over 7,000 connections on LinkedIn, so we leverage his network to kind of help us attract new business.
So what's the first ask? Well, I guess you got to ask to connect, right? Is that mm-hmm. like step one? And
absolutely.
Then what's next? Like trying to send them some thought leadership or something?
No, I think just genuinely trying to help people, you know? Like,
there's a novel idea. What do you think about
helping
that?
Helping people. Write that down.
Yeah, no
Sanjay,
kidding.
Write down help people.
We're saying that tongue-in-cheek, but I don't think a lot of people necessarily today are approaching their marketing work that they're going to do today, Thursday, mm-hmm. first and foremost with that mindset necessarily. But, yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, for example, when we do find a company we want to go after, we usually do some back-end research. And there's things you can do, like finding out if they're using the Facebook pixel, if they set up their Google remarketing tag, stuff like that. And obviously doing, you know, page speed insights tool from Google, seeing how well their website is performing, and just kind of noticing a few things that they could be doing better. And using tools like Built With, for example, is a good tool for that. Sorry.
All right, and, so I see right now what he does. He finds us, right, on LinkedIn. He sees somehow, some way, he can't quite figure it out. We're making a living at this thing. So he's got these two old middle-aged white guys, and he knows we're not doing anything he just said. Sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. He's rattling off stuff that sounds cool. Are we doing any of this?
We're not pixeling. I don't think we're pixeling.
You're not pixelated? Right?
I didn't do any back-end research.
I'm sure.
Guys,
it sounds like
it sounds to me like you did. You're just like dropping
there.
I think he's trying to sell us something.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we probably need it. All right, guy interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. No, that was just that's the approach we take and try to, you know, notice some of their pain points and try to speak to that and start a conversation. Really, I think if you go in and try to just hard sell people, it doesn't really work that well.
And then once you start getting to know them more, then you set a meeting, and then you just
just a quick like 30-minute discovery call, just try to gather more data, figure out what they could be doing better.
Okay, see right there, old timer. He said call. You said meeting. He said call.
He doesn't want to. You don't want to go. You don't want to meet
because you're gonna go get a cup of coffee or a beer with somebody and good old boy it. Yeah. And this guy's gonna call somebody in Luxembourg, and he's gonna have the same kind. Right? It's just a different mindset. You're not just targeting your own backyard. You're like going all over.
Honestly, we are targeting our own backyard. We find that the initial discovery call is usually on the phone, but we like to kind of go meet in person if possible. Obviously, that's not really scalable,
old school.
But to get
I could tell that about him first.
People.
I saw everything but the haircut. That's kind of cutting edge.
So now you have this conversation, and then what's usually the first thing that you do to help somebody? Is there a first kind of project that you work on usually?
Yeah, we usually do an audit and kind of get access to their accounts, find out what they are doing, where they currently stand, and figure out how we can start improving that and kind of chart the course of what we're going to do over the course of the engagement mm-hmm. if they decide to go with us.
And then, but is there, like, is one of the things you do is, okay, let's fix up your LinkedIn profile. Like, if you have somebody good, you probably have to get that good, right?
Yeah, there's lots of things. So it depends where some people will have, for example, a really good LinkedIn profile, but a terrible Facebook profile or vice mm-hmm. versa. Especially in the B2B market, we've kind of focused on LinkedIn, though, because it's just better for that. And they also have a great platform right now. They actually kind of launched their own version of the Facebook pixel called the LinkedIn Insight Tag, which is very similar. So we kind of clean that up and start the foundation fresh and figure out how to build on top of it.
And then there is you have a LinkedIn strategy to help people just leverage their own LinkedIn too?
There's a little bit of that. Most of what we do is content marketing, so put out content on LinkedIn and kind of doing
Are you creating it, or are you saying, hey, write me 10 tips on how to do whatever?
Well, we do create content for people, for example, blog posts, stuff like that, that they can share on LinkedIn and on other posts. But mm-hmm. there's also LinkedIn also has an articles feature where sometimes we recommend putting that content into the platform directly because we find that gets sometimes some better visibility.
Now, what about, is it better to be in LinkedIn or like someplace like Medium?
I like to use LinkedIn, actually.
So use that as kind of the hub? Should their blog be the hub?
I like to keep the blog as the hub and then share that across multiple social networks, but also implement some of that into the LinkedIn article itself. So like mm-hmm. take a snippet of it and then say read more on the blog. So you're getting kind of both.
And then that helps drive traffic back.
Exactly.
All right, so I got a question. This is coming from scar tissue from years ago when I had something close to a real job and a marketing responsibility in a consulting firm. Getting the principals, who were very well recognized, respected, did great talks in their arena, getting them to just write a little white paper, just write me a little, you know, and I, it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
So do you find that with your clients, or have you figured out a good workaround where they're compelled to do it, or you make it easy for them to generate this?
That's
content.
Part of the benefit of our service offering is we kind of take some of that pressure off. These people are busy, especially if they're high-level executives. They don't want to take the time to write a white paper. So we have some in-house resources that we use to kind of leverage that, and then we'll generally send it to them, and they'll prove it or tweak it to make sense for their business specifically, and then kind of do it.
You're being very gracious, and I can see that you're very good at connecting and talking with people, because we both know some of the other truth is they may be really good consultant or whatever, right, and maybe not be terribly good at writing.
That's true.
They know it, or even if they are, they fear that they're not.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, you're being very gracious, but right, what I hear you saying is you can fill that void. If that exactly is a challenge for whatever reason, that's part of the resources you bring.
Precisely.
And is professional services, like the consultant, the those kind of people, is that describe some of your client base or prospective client base?
Yeah, so we have quite a few clients at this point. One is an international moving and logistics company. Another builds these advanced environmental machines that they help clean water for people. We also do business with a bank here in Atlanta. So we kind of have quite a few different approaches, and they have, you know, their own individual customers that they're marketing to. So being able to come in and figure out what their core value proposition is part of our advantage as well. It's like figuring out their business and how to market that to their audience.
Now, can you share a success story, like life before Caledon and then life after?
Yeah, so one of our first accounts, they're spending lots of money on Google Ads, but they hadn't really done anything with it in the past year. They had somebody that was looking at it every day, every week, and then they left and just kind of let it run.
So they were running the same ads for a year?
So Google actually updated like a lot of the fields in the ads. They were using like outdated advertisements and stuff, so we came in and kind of cleaned those up.
So that saved them money at Go,
right?
Oh,
yeah. We paid for ourselves for like a year at that
point.
Right,
just for that.
Oh, there's also another one, interesting story. They have ad extensions on Google. For example, when you put like a phone number in, and we found out that they were running, you know, the phone number ad extension, which a lot of people click on hours that they weren't even at the office. So people would be calling the phone number, spending $25 a click, and there's nobody there to answer the phone. So.
And that, I mean, people who don't do pay-per-click, they don't realize those clicks, they can
get pricey.
Aren't there there's $100 clicks, right?
In some industries, right? It gets crazy.
Yes.
And you're laughing, but can you imagine, if you and I took responsibility for our own Google ad stuff, it'd be like a monkey with a machine gun.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we'd be such a blunt instrument.
Right.
You could really lose a lot of money in a hurry.
Now, how important is experimentation to do these kind of testing to really optimize, you know, okay, this is the message that's resonating. You know, you have to constantly be testing that, right?
Absolutely. And that's why some people they can't do it in-house. They don't have the resources to do that. That's the benefit of hiring somebody like us. But for example, especially on like landing pages, for example, landing pages where a user goes after they click an ad. So a lot of times that's where you really want to optimize and try to get your conversion rate up, because people that come to that page, they've usually paid to get there. So you want to convert as many of those people into leads as possible.
Right. And then how important is building an email list in terms of somebody's inbound marketing?
Very important. I mean, see, people underestimate the power of email marketing today. They think it's outdated. They think it's not useful. I still think it's a huge factor.
Is there any other areas that they should be building? Is like texting? Should you build other types?
I think Facebook Messenger lists, using like something like ManyChat, something like that. Those open rates are extremely high, usually up in the 90 percentile. So,
what about chatbots?
Chatbots, again, yeah, very important as well. I think
so. You think websites should have some little bot on the corner saying some sort of, can I help you?
I think it's better than a contact form. Like a lot of people, if they don't want to fill out a full contact form, but they'll start chatting with you online, and you can kind of sell them that way.
Almost knocked the headphone amp off the table because he struck a chord with me. How many times have I just gone berserk when I see someone with a contact form? Don't make me work that hard.
We have both on our side.
Of course, both.
That way you gotta go cover everybody. Both markets, cover all the bases.
Right, but I mean, really, to only have a contact form, that's not good mojo. I'm not going to work that hard. Right?
So now, tell me about remarketing. Explain to me the benefits of that.
Yeah, so remarketing is really fun. Basically, so you know how people will talk and say, you know, Alexa or Facebook must be listening to my phone.
Right.
So I was just talking about cat food, and now I'm seeing an ad for cat food.
Right.
Well, really what they're probably doing is they're searching to buy cat food online. They just don't put the dots together, and they see an ad for cat food. That's remarketing. So, for example, if Facebook and Google and all the big platforms, even LinkedIn now, they'll follow you around the web and find out what you're doing, and then companies can put their ads in front of you after you've actually left their site on social networks, for example, like Facebook and Google Display Network. And then
so you help companies with that?
Absolutely. It's one of the biggest things we do.
One of the things that bugs me about that is that I'll have bought the thing.
Well, that they need help then, because usually you take them out of the remarketing list at that point.
It's still following me around.
It's not good. They're wasting a lot of money.
I know. It's like, do they pay every time I see the ad, or do they pay only if I click on the ad?
Depends on the platform. So you can do both ways. You can bid different ways on multiple platforms.
And do you see businesses making kind of the same mistake over and over, or is every client an adventure?
Every client just definitely has their own unique
mistakes that they're making.
But a lot of times, a lot of people don't even realize that they can do remarketing. So that's a big one. And just having a general strategy at any level, you know, a lot of them will do pay-per-click ads, for example, just on Google, but they haven't leveraged any of, you know, Bing ads, which can actually be cheaper sometimes. So people use Bing.
I know they're across the hall there, but people are using them.
Absolutely, especially in the B2B market, because a lot of people that are searching for those, you know, those products and services, they're at work, and a lot of times those are Windows machines and default browser. They don't know how to change it, so they just keep it on Bing.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's just
That's hilarious. Now, for you and your marketing, is most of it coming from inbound? Is that where you get most of your clients?
At this point, yes. We do try to take an inbound approach ourselves. Obviously, we got to drink our own Kool-Aid. We'd like to do a two-pronged approach. Outbound of specific clients that we want to go after and people that come to us and say, hey, we need your services.
But when you're going after them, you're always going after them in a digital manner?
Absolutely. Until we can get them on the phone or in-person meeting.
But that's your funnel.
Yep.
And then when you're working with a client, how quickly can they expect to see some sort of positive result so they know that they're investing their money wisely?
It depends on what the service is. If it's a full service, I'd say 1 to 3 months. Generally, we can come in and be extremely valuable. People that just do SEO, that obviously takes quite a bit longer. Anybody that tells you they can do SEO and get results in a month, definitely stay away from them. but it depends on, you know, the actual scope of the project. But generally, in 1 to 3 months, we can start showing some real ROI for our clients.
And if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation with you, where should they go?
Just go to CaladanMarketing.com.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Brody Schroeder with Caladan Marketing. Thanks for coming and visiting with us. And
thanks for having me.
Keep up the good work, man.
I appreciate it.
Hey, stay with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
Okay, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next up on WeWork Radio this afternoon, please join me in welcoming to the program with MedEdge Marketing. Like, we got kind of a theme going here.
It's marketing.
Right?
Look, we have to close the show with marketing.
There you go. Exactly.
That's the only thing that matters.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the show Miss Amy Jones. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you so much. That was so lovely, by the way. I was like, holy cow, he's really good at this. He knows his stuff, guys.
Exactly.
But isn't that also one of the things about, just quick little spot for WeWork here, I think the word you used earlier was collide or collisions. I mean, in this environment, people like you that are kind
of
like...
There's a lot of that here.
Yeah, I mean, you guys might find something to work on together, right? Because, yeah, that's fantastic. Tell us about MedEdge, mission, purpose. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Yeah, so MedEdge Marketing is a full-service digital marketing service agency that we service practitioners. So we service chiropractors, plastic surgeons, doctors, therapists in the health space.
So you went with a niche. You know, we were talking to Brody earlier. You're a little broader. You really went with a niche. What compelled you to dive into a niche?
So I went with medicine because I graduated from medical school. And while
congratulations.
I was in, thank you.
Excuse me. Please join us in welcoming Dr. Amy to the show.
I'm not quite that pretentious, but thank you. But yeah, so when I was in medical school, I started a small business to try and make some money. And through that business, I was able to grow, and I sold stickers and paper and stationery. Ended up hosting a convention with over 300 ticket sales. In less than 6 months, I grew my business to that level. And when I was in physicians' offices, one of the things they struggled with was, being able to do the outbound, the inbound marketing, to be able to reach out to patients. And just kind of struggled with, how can I help the physicians to get their patients and also to get the word out? You know, I really feel very strongly about making sure that people in the community know where they can get health care. And to me, that's a huge part of what I do, is I want to get out the message for the patients that there is a physician here who can help you, who can help your solve your problems and make you well.
So now with MedEdge, you're targeting doctors with mm-hmm. medical practices. They're typically not great marketers, just right? I mean, really. They're good at what they do, but marketing isn't top of mind. Like, they're more of a classic practice, right? It's not. It's like, you know, lawyers aren't good marketers. It's nothing personal, right?
Well, I will tell you, they don't teach marketing or business in medical school.
Right, exactly.
We learn a lot of anatomy. We learn right. a lot of physiology. We do not learn a lot of business.
Like persuasion and moving people through a sales funnel, I'm sure wasn't there, you know, when you were doing anatomy one day, sales funnel wasn't there the next day.
No, we're much more interested at that point in where your gallbladder is in relation to your arteries, so we right. don't kill you.
Right, exactly. And that's where you should be focusing your attention.
That's a good thing.
So now, how are they open to this, or do they think, like, look, I'm a doctor, so I'm going to do good doctoring, and everything will take care of itself?
No, a lot of doctors are open. You know, everyone, unfortunately and fortunately, medicine is a service, but it's also a business. Mm-hmm. And so I took master's classes when I was in medical school in business. And one of the things that we say is really hard to struggle with is that how do you bring together the service and the business of the physician so that you're not too much of a service, but, you know, because if you're not in business, then you're not a service, right?
Exactly.
So it's how do I have a good business and still provide a service? And so I think marketing does that. You know, it allows you to be able to outreach to patients, to tell patients you're there, and you get more patients in, and that allows you then to be a service to them. So yeah, I mean, they're open to it usually.
And then is it difficult to get a hold of them to talk?
You know, not typically, mainly because I know how the doctor's offices work. I've been in a lot of them and, you know, been on the backside of a lot of them. And so I know that a physician is busy, but I also know that the physician understands their responsibility to their community to provide health care. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you put it to them that way, you know, my goal is to be able to help them do more good in their community. And at the end of the day, that's what we go to school for. And so once they, you know, they have the same goal, is to do more good, to reach more people. And so, yeah, so they're open to hearing, you know, how can I do that? How can I heal more people and be of service to my community?
Now, are your clients going to be all over the country? Or are you focusing on Atlanta?
Yes. I mean, you know, what we do, I can do anywhere. You know, we can do it in any state. But typically right now, I reach out to people who are local to me because there are so many people that are local. And, of course, I want to help my community first. And so I think, you know, you do the best business at home and then you can outreach to places farther away. Mm-hmm. But I really want to help the businesses local to me because it's helping my community.
Now, is this something that is going to require like big budgets, or do you work with them at all different levels?
Yeah, I mean, we work at all different levels. Of course, it depends on what they're looking for and what level that they're at already. Typically what we'll do is do an assessment of their website, of what they're currently doing for marketing. And, you know, a huge part of what we do is reputation management, because when you're looking for a physician and you're new to the area, most people are going to go and they're going to look on Google. They're going to look on Health Grades. They're going to look on Yelp. They want to see what your patients are saying.
People pick doctors on Yelp?
Doctors are on Yelp? Did not know this.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Really?
No, that's how I figure out whether I'm going to have chili or tuna for lunch. Doctors are on Yelp.
For sure, yeah. And that's, you know, when you're new to an area, you don't know anyone. You know, I mean, right. Everybody looks for, in fact, more than 80% actually are going to go based on, and they admit to this in research, they're going to go based on your reputation online. And so it's the reputation that you have online is as good as a close friend giving you a recommendation.
Wow.
So if your online presence is weak or not good, then, you know, and there's someone there ahead of you, then the person's always going to choose the person who has the better reputation online.
Now, we've interviewed a lot of restaurateurs, and Yelp is for them a double-edged sword. Is it the same thing in the medical practice? Like, all it takes is one wacky person who's disgruntled for something, and then part of your job as a marketer is kind of pushing that down so that not only the good stuff, but some of the good stuff is seen as well.
Yeah, so that's really a huge part of what I do, too, because I believe that it's very important, A, to not have to push down the bad stuff. I really want my physicians to have a good reputation.
Right.
And I only want to work with physicians who want to be doctors, who want to help patients, who have a good reputation with their patients. So my goal is not to deceive people. My goal is just to let people know what's available. So typically the way it works is with the reputation management that we do, first, I make sure that they don't have a lot of bad reviews. If I hear they have a lot of bad reviews with their office staff, or if they're running late, things like that, that's another part of what I do, is I offer office staff training so that their office staff is ready to handle when people come in. And they have a set system of when someone comes in the door, we say, hi, how are you today? Welcome to our office.
So you're getting that granular. And I mean, that's not marketing anymore. That's customer service. That's a different animal, but that's, you're helping them holistically, though.
Yes, and they need it a lot of times because, you know, a lot of the people who work in the offices, they are not high paid, and they need to be respected, and they need to know that they're part of a team. And so a lot of that comes full circle because, like you said, if when someone calls to schedule an appointment from our amazing marketing, the person on the phone says, we don't have anything. Well, now, you know, we're facing a different problem, right? So we want to do it that's why I say full service, because it really is full service. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that everybody's getting what they need and deserve.
So in your marketing, in this assessment, do you choose to frame stuff up like a practitioner would frame it up? Like, do you call it a health check or anything like that?
I don't, but I guess that's not a bad idea. I'm not too much for that. I just say, you know what, it's an audit, and I think it's probably the all the papers that I've read have lost my creativity in
that way. All right, I want to hear, because one of the things that you have available to you in your arsenal, and one of the things you're investing some time and energy in, you're in the throes of launching a podcast.
Yes. So this is the thing I found, that a lot of physicians really don't know how to market themselves on social media. I mean, they don't know how to market themselves in a lot of ways, but especially social media. And it's really tricky for medicine. You know, we don't give diagnoses over the internet. You're not going to call and say, oh, what's going on with my heart today? You know, and we're going to tell you. Because that's a liability for us, right? And so one of the difficulties that physicians have is being able to feel free to have this social media presence. And so one of the ways that I'm helping them is by launching a podcast. And on that podcast, we're focusing on the ways in which doctors can market their practices, and especially talking about Instagram, Facebook, because people are there. And you can connect with your patient, give them information, educate them, without crossing that line. And so that's the goal with the podcast, is to kind of teach them how to give information, educate patients, help them so that the patients will be more compliant. You know, I believe that education is key in compliance, and it's key in everything. So as a part of that, the podcast is educating physicians on how they can be better marketers by themselves and do those things, which they probably would rather pay somebody for, but if they ever get the, you know, wild hair and they want to write something, they'll know then how to do it, you know?
So will this largely be you sharing your insight, or people on your team, or you'll have people from other, who are the guests, or is it mostly you?
No, it will be myself. And then I also belong to a group of doctors on social media, hashtag SoMeDocs. And so I have a few of those who have said, hey, you know, if you have something that's working for your office, would you mind if I interviewed you?
So cool.
Yeah. So we'll have a few of those doctors, and they'll be able to tell us what they're doing that's helping their practice be more successful and hopefully to be helpful.
And then for you in the growth of your business, how did you get started in the kind of going all in on the marketing, and are you still doctoring?
Yeah, no. I love that question because I always get that one. Why in the heck are you not a doctor?
The side hustle doctor thing you got going on.
Yeah, no, actually, I love that question. I do get it almost every day. Someone says, why are you not? All right. So actually, I ended up, like I said, I had a business. And in that business, I had to learn a lot about marketing. And then I just learned that there was kind of a deficit there. And so it was really just a means of helping people that I already knew, to say, hey, I know you need more patients. Let me see if I can help you, you know, with this, that, and the other, you know.
And then so you kind of leaned into the marketing side.
Yeah. So I leaned into the marketing side, and I'm I mean, that's what I've done, so, you know.
Now, for you, when you're saying doctors and medical practices, is it typically medical practices that are insurance-based or more cash-based medical practices?
Yeah. Both? No, it can be both. So some practices, like you have plastic surgeons, for example. So they have some
right,
procedures.
Like dentists, plastic surgeons, chiropractors mm-hmm. that are more kind of, they yeah. have to, they're not relying on insurance as much.
Right, yeah. I mean, they do have. I mean, right. there are a lot of things that insurance covers with a plastic surgeon, but there are a lot of things that insurance doesn't cover. And right. one of the things you learn about marketing, this is not a medicine thing, this is a marketing thing, is typically you have what we call a downsell and an upsell. You have different levels, and the idea is that when you have that patient that comes in for the paid cleaning, that you sell them on the veneers.
Right.
Because the veneers were not a part of the insurance, but that's where they're going to make more money, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds kind of shallow, and it's you know, it's not if that's what they need. So the right. goal is to be able to connect the physicians with the patients who need the products and not to offer, you know, you don't want them offering things that people don't need just to make money.
Sure.
That's not cool, you know.
And then so right now, the launch of the website, what did you do before the website? How were you communicating with them?
Yeah, so most of my contacts come from Facebook. Like I said, I belong to several different groups on Facebook with physicians in them. Of course, I went to medical school, so I know a lot of doctors. So just a lot of my personal contacts, things like that, that's how I kind of came into it, and that's who I've been talking to and growing my business with. And then just recently started building a website. And believe it or not, like you do need a website, but if you want to have a business, you don't necessarily have to have a website to start your business.
It's good to have a client.
Yeah, that's good. The first thing you want is a client, right?
The other stuff's kind of, you know, nice to have, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, you know, it's not imperative. So I say focus on what we call revenue generating activity, right?
There you go. So now tell me about WeWork. Why'd you choose the office out of WeWork?
Well, I have 5 children at home, and so choosing a place to work from was not hard. I don't want to mince any words, but it was, yeah, so this is nice. I have teenagers, and honestly, at this stage in my life, I have 4 teenagers, and I really was expecting when the school year started, everybody would be back in school, but I didn't realize all the different things that come along with being I have a senior, so she's home half the day and goes to school half the day. And then I have a 5-year-old who's at home, and then I have a 14-year-old who's at home this year too because he's highly intelligent and lacks motivation. And I refuse to let him fail because he lacks motivation. So
then you come in here to get away from some of that, and then do you like the networking? Like, what parts of WeWork are attractive to you?
Free coffee.
That's it?
No, yeah. No, seriously, though. Yeah, it's a really great space. So, you know, there is free coffee, and it is a great space to be able to network with people. So you can network with people who might be clients. You can network with people who are in the same industry as you. And then it's just a really good space. One of the things that I think is really important that I did in medical school is separating and blocking off time. So when I'm here, I'm at work fully. When I'm at home fully. Mm-hmm. And that allows me to be fully in every facet of my life. I can give my, you know, my all without trying to say, oh, I'm at home and I'm working and I'm doing laundry and I'm working and I'm washing dishes and I'm working and like, you know, that's just too segmented and too fragmented, and it doesn't work very well. So this allows me to really have that separation. And that's what I like about WeWork, is that it allows you to have that separation, but you're still with people.
And then for you, what do you need more of right now?
A time.
More time?
Time, money.
Well, come up
money.
With another career, add it to your resume.
I mean, we always, of course, are taking on new clients. I mean, always taking on new clients and trying to build our business just like everyone else. But
and you build that through, like Brody was saying, inbound and through education and through networking?
Yes. So Facebook networking, content marketing, mm-hmm. And then just listening. You know, you can listen to what people need. And then he said, you know, just helping people, providing value to them. You know, someone said the other day, I don't know how to grow my Instagram. Well, that's great because I know how to grow Instagram. Let me help you. And I can just share with you online a few things you can do to help you grow your Instagram, you know. And I don't charge anything for it. Had a lady today who's not actually a physician, but wanted some Facebook ads. And turns out that she's not going to be successful with Facebook ads. So I said, you know, your product is not set up to be successful with Facebook ads. Do something else. And so it's just providing value to people, you know, just being honest with them and not allowing them to be swindled and for people to take advantage of them, because there is a lot of people out there waiting to take advantage of you.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more, the best way to connect with you is on right now Facebook or LinkedIn?
Yes, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me, MedEdge Marketing, on Facebook. And it's just a business page right now. And then also Amy Jones, I'm on Facebook. And you can
Amy
find
Jones,
me.
So you're probably the only Amy Jones, right? You type that into LinkedIn and you'll pop right up.
I'm probably the most popular one.
And then soon MedEdgeMarketing.com will be a bit open to the public.
That's exactly right.
And there's going to be this podcast. And right. I want you to keep us posted on that. I want to listen in on that.
Yes, I will, for sure. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This is great fun. I appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on WeWork Radio.